This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Peter Kessler is a golf historian working at Golf Channel and PGA Tour Radio. He now has himself the number one podcast in the game of golf, The Peter Kessler Show, available at revolutiongolf.com. It's the recapping of a major championship, so it's always a pleasure to welcome Peter Kessler back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Peter.
I'm so glad to be back, particularly after the excitement of last week. I mean, we wait every single major for it to finish just the way this one did, and so it was a particularly special treat and a thrill to be with you again today.
You know what? I'm going to admit it. I never thought I would see the day that Phil Mickelson would have the patience to get his game to a place where he would one day win that championship. I know he was close a couple of years ago, but you know, I've just had too many years where on Sunday of the Open, Tiger's going off one, Phil is finishing his final round. How surprised were you?
Well, there was a precedent, which I believe would have been the 04 Masters when he edged out Ernie by birdieing five of the last seven holes, including the last one where he jumped a full inch off of the ground. And so that was, you know, that was coming up from behind and going ahead and making the thing happen. So we know he's capable of it in a major championship. We certainly know that he can set normal tour events on fire with a final round. But this is not the first time he's come from behind, and this was a big way to come. But I'm not surprised because he did it once before, but I sure am impressed.
You know, here's the thing that none of us know about any of those guys. And that's just how motivated they get to do certain things. And I wonder if Phil's experience at Marion just got him all the more motivated for the Open.
Oh, I think so, because Phil's got this curious ability to be fairly objective about his career and what it does under the harsh light. And, you know, he made it clear after he lost the U.S. Open last month that, you know, that he would have looked at his career a lot differently had he won that championship. And he's clearly now going to look at his career a lot differently now that he's won this championship. I mean, five majors put you in a whole new special category. And I'm not surprised that he got motivated again, particularly given that the mistake were mental. He's hitting the ball and has been hitting it particularly well and been putting good for a while, and it's unlike Phil to play good sustained golf. That's what Tiger did better than anything that he did, was he kept playing great golf all the time no matter what. Phil only has two or three good weeks a year, but this year he's had more good weeks, and so he really believed after the U.S. Open that he could come back and do something special. And then to win back-to-back the Scottish Open and then the Open Championship, talk about being able to stay with the program.
You know, here's what that Open victory did in my mind, and I hadn't really thought about it this way. I know he kind of made a joke Sunday afternoon about if six runner-up finishes could be one victory, but you know, he could have two or three U.S. Opens, and this could have been number eight. Now, I know that's a lot of ifs and coulds, but I never really thought about his U.S. Open championships like that until he pulled this thing up. I just never thought he'd pull off the Open championship.
Well, you know, the thing about Phil in the Open Championship that just made me nuts was his continued insistence that he just didn't understand how you're supposed to do it. Well, any 15 handicapper who has ever been to Scotland after two holes says to himself, aha, I have to land it 15 yards short of the green, and you kind of have to read the ground, don't you, in front of the green to see which way it might bounce. So you kind of have to pretend that's the green and aim it there. And Phil Mickelson couldn't figure it out in 20 times playing the British Open. That's 80 competitive rounds, forgetting if he's missed cuts, plus all the practice rounds. It's 150 rounds, forgetting vacation rounds or things we don't know about on Tuesdays, and he still didn't know. It was such a stupid-ass thing to say. So, you know, he says such incredible things. I mean, I once did an interview with him, and he said, people are jealous of me because I understand time travel. You know, and I didn't know what that meant either. So I didn't know what this meant, that I don't understand it, and I didn't understand what he meant by time travel. But, I'm impressed, but I'm not surprised.
We are talking with Peter Kessler, host of the number one podcast in the game, The Peter Kessler Show, available at revolutiongolf.com. I know he wishes Pinehurst was coming up next week, but we've got 11 months before that. That's dog years when we're talking about Phil's game. How much do you think he's looking forward to Pinehurst?
Not as much as he's looking forward to the PGA Championship in 3 weeks. I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to talk about there's another major coming up, and it's 3 weeks from now, and he's playing good now. We don't know how he's playing next June, but we do know how he's playing right now here in late July, and in early August, the PGA is up. You can add number six, and then you're getting really serious because, you know, then at six, you're in Trevino and Faldo land, and I would even match his record up more favorably than Faldo's. He's won a whole lot more times, and even though Faldo has six majors, it's only two different ones. Phil's got five and three different ones, you know, and 43 wins on tour compared to Faldo's nine wins on tour. So, you know, and I put it right up there with Trevino's record now. He means right there, and he's close to knocking on Arnold's door and Sam's door.
Let's talk about a couple of other players. When do we stop remembering what Tiger used to do, and when do we begin to say, "Eh, this is the Tiger we got now"?
Right now, I think of Marion. Not only because you just raised it, but I think of it with regard to your question as it relates to Tiger, in the sense that on the second hole of the first day at Marion, he was already stressed, pressing, out of sorts, and sweating. Second hole. He never makes it easy on himself. Get the thing in play. Knock it into the middle of the green. Get yourself going. Get the round going. It's always sideways. You know, and he did the same darn thing at the Open Championship. What a sniper he hit off the tee that was headed OB if it hadn't hit the only tree on the golf course. So I think the time is now for us to forget about the triumph of hope over recent experience. You know, we can't hope right now based on recent experience for him to be picking up these championships, you know, based on that form recently. So I make him a long shot to win the next major. Forget the Nicklaus thing. I mean, he has to have a Phil Mickelson majors career going forward to pass Jack. Is he going to have a five major career going forward? I don't see it based on what I see.
How surprised would you be to wake up one morning and hear that Rory wants out of the Nike deal?
I would be surprised.
Okay.
Even though it's a very interesting question, because he's not necessarily the most loyal guy. You know, he had a management situation, he then moved to another management situation, he's now moving away to let his dad be his manager. So he's a little bit fickle in that way. So I wouldn't be shocked, I suppose. Now, you know, now that you've given me a chance to settle in, I didn't expect that one. But boy, it is sideways. I'm sure there's no easy out, but I would suspect he'll stay with the program. And except, see, Tiger took years before he had a full set of Nike clubs. He played his title as putter for 6 or 8 years after he signed the Nike deal. He had a Titleist driver in the bag. He had some Titleist wedges. I mean, it was a slow move, and this was wholesale and immediate in every single way, including clothes.
Put your historian's cap on here for my last question. Put last Sunday into perspective. Will they be talking about Phil's final round 50 years from now?
Oh, yeah. And I'll give you a really good example, because we still talk about Arnold's round from 53 years ago at the U.S. Open, when he shot a final round 65 and came from seven behind to go ahead and win that championship for the only time in his career. And Arnold knows how important that is to his career. You know, he's got the four Masters, and he's got the two British Opens, and, you know, that one U.S. Open, you know, it was huge, huge, huge. So we talk about that 53 years later. This 66 was in some ways better, because when Arnold went out, he wasn't there was nothing happening. I mean, you know, he was seven behind, and there was 15 guys between him and the lead. That's not happening, you know. And then he birdies six of the first seven holes, and the next thing you know, he's in the lead, and he kind of cruise controlled it on in. I mean, it was brilliant stuff. But, you know, Phil had to do it at the end of the round, you know, at the end of the round, when he knew what it meant. Arnold didn't know early on what it meant necessarily. Too many people, too many shots. But Phil knew, so I put it right up there and maybe even edge it just a little bit ahead. I put it up there with Jack 65 at Augusta in 1986. I don't think it's any less attractive, other than the emotional circumstance that we attached to 86 because of Jack's then age. But look at that. Phil's only 3 years younger. He looks like the kind of player who can keep playing another 5 or 6 years at this pace. He's a very young 43 somehow.
I always appreciate it, Peter. Thanks for taking the time.
Are you kidding? It's always a pleasure. Thanks for the great questions.